Hello, this is James Grunwig with Decentralized.media on Unrestricted Warfare for another episode with Rich Jumeau. We've been talking about bringing on Sasquatch because his experience, his interactions with Sasquatch is completely different than anything I've ever watched on TV. It goes far beyond beating a a whatever out in the woods, taking thermographic images of deer at night. No. His theory, after years of this interaction, personal interaction, right, trail cameras, everything, is completely different. It is a paranormal level, but actually he has a theory that it's interdimensional. And if it is, oh, wow. And he has also another theory is, how come the government is ready to drop its pants for UFO and give all the disclosure on UFOs, but they won't do that for Sasquatch? They won't do it for Bigfoot. It's a big question mark. You think it'd be the opposite, but it's not. It's this. Let me start off with the video, which was one of the first recent documentaries from Brett Eichenberger. And for some reason, I cannot play it. Okay. We're going to just get into the PowerPoint deck. Apparently, it's a different code than I got. All right, let's get into the PowerPoint deck. I might find another video on Sasquatch. It's really not important. I'll leave the links to the Sasquatch videos so you can watch it on your own and the trailers. This is James Grunwig with Rich Jumeau. It's episode 78 and Sasquatch Interdimensional. That's where I'm going. I don't even put a question mark there because this is what I believe. Rich, you're former law enforcement here in Florida, here in Texas, and in 11 other states, the magic number 13. We have 9/11 services are down. 9/11 service down. Cyber attacks from yesterday to today. And I guess we're being tested. And there were cyber attacks on the recent Key Bridge ship Dolly. So what is going on in your estimation or opinion?
Well, I think we're on the precipice. We're on the edge of looking over right now where shit is about to hit the fan, literally, to the point that, at least from my perspective, I think that you're going to see the economic system probably is about to be taken down outside of the control of the corporation. So they're going to have to react to it.
So this is the beginning, right? We're seeing the final battle. And the battle, you got to realize, if 5% of these scumbags at the top are satanic pedophiles, they're sociopaths, which means they cannot be bargained with. They don't have human empathy. They're missing a few gene pairs, in my opinion, on what it's like being a human being. They're just not necessarily a different race, but they're a different breed of human. And it is really interesting what happens.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I mean, this all is really the root of this thing. What has kept people blind and unaware of reality, what's going on, it really all comes down to the dollar and the fact that everybody is fully invested into the dollar, right? Their whole lives have revolved around this dollar, this fiat fake currency.
Yep.
That is really their enslavement tool. But it won't be till that dollar is removed that people will see clearly or start to begin to see clearly.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It is all about the dollar. We have a work week and a mortgage, and that's like a death and job, as in Job out of the Bible. So not only have we been slaves to the debt note, and it's a debt note. They want you in bondage the rest of your life, and people just don't realize it. I got a lot of money. No, you got a lot of debt at the end of the day. And even the rich people have lots of debt. And even the nations, like 95% of the nations in the world have debt. And most of the corporations have debt. And you think outside of maybe Apple and a couple others that are cash rich, most of them are not. These are facts. Let's get into this eye-opening, stunning thing, which is not stunning to me, but let's talk about it. So Donald Trump in a video wearing his jacket clearly shows Commander-in-Chief Trump. So this was reported yesterday, but I've known about this story for a long time, and let's go blow this up, Commander-in-Chief Trump. But I've known this since fall of 2021 with 107 in a five-hour dinner Juan and I had with John Chambers, when I used to be at Amp Media. And Juan told us the story of how this all happened. The timeline's real simple. Remember on the 18th of December, Trump was supposed to receive under executive order a DNI report of election interference? And of course, the director of national intelligence never delivered on that day. Delivered, in fact, on the 19th of January, you know, a full month later. Why did that happen? Oh, because they didn't want Trump to be reelected. So talk about election interference, it starts with the intelligence agencies. But what's interesting is, even though there was a fake January 6th false flag and all this stuff, Trump knew on Monday, the 14th of December, 2020, he knew two things from the presidential daily brief. He knew, one, that China interfered with the election, flipping votes overseas, right? Foreign interference. Mm-hmm. He also knew that January 6th would be a false flag with Pelosi, Mike Pence, and everybody else. He knew this 3 weeks ahead of time. How do you know we know this? Go look at the Ellipse speech. He shows up 15 minutes late. He's slower than molasses, not Trump's usual style, not his cadence at a rally. And he deliberately goes back through the 1 p.m. or military time, the 13th hour, or the 13th hour being Illuminati time. And that's when they began the coup, right? The insurrection coming from Pelosi and everybody in the FBI. But the MAGA audience was still listening to Trump's speech. So they didn't initially rush the Capitol. This is what people forget. So there was a fake gunfight, and there's all, you know, all this fake drama inside the Capitol building, and yet there was no storming yet. So Trump, the disruptor in chief, disrupted the timing of their trap to entrap Trump and to make American conservatives and voters of Trump foreign extremists or, you know, domestic terrorists or whatever. So that happened. But more importantly, when the DNI report came on the 19th of January, Trump and Melania are already packing to leave on purpose. The military, five branches of the military, said, okay, we need time to evaluate this. This report is a month late. We need our usual 45 days or whatever it is. So they took that. And from the 9th of January all the way to the 6th of March, they all researched, the five different branches researched together. I mean, separately, right? You had the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force, Space Command, right? They all researched everything. And when they came back together on the 6th of March, they each had a one-day presentation. And on the last day, the 11th of March, they would make a vote. They made a vote. They had a simple agreement, I believe, and said Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief, which means Joe Biden isn't. So this has been going on. And I've talked about this openly in the public for the last 2.5 years, and people just don't believe it. Well, believe it. Grundig has been right, so I got the right information, and here it is. And so this has been going on. I mean, Trump has been commander in chief. He hasn't looked presidential until East Palestine, when he showed up with a full motorcade of a presidential with a couple of ambulances, his own medical doctor, Trump Force One, his plane got outfitted with Air Force One, defensive systems and evasive systems. So Trump has been clearly president, at least for the last year, and commander-in-chief for 2.5 years. Weigh in. Rich, go ahead.
I don't see how he hasn't been president the whole time, to be honest with you.
Probably.
How is that? You know, the truth is that on every level, local, state, and federal, they knowingly certified fraudulent elections. They seized the fruit of their crime at that time. Right. So they made it all. They solidified the whole thing by certification, fraudulent certification, knowingly. So that's when they took it officially, is when they did that. You know, they warned you the whole time, the Q PSYOP, everything else. They told you what was going to happen. We didn't know exactly. I mean, I think that most of the Patriots were under the impression that they weren't actually going to allow them to succeed. Right. They were going to warn them, but ultimately they were going to finish that after the 2020 election. But they had to do it this way.
They had to do it this way because the Q is an open source intelligence operation. So the Patriots and the anonymous digital researchers, you know, citizen reporters can read it just like the enemy can read it. So, of course, they can't tell you exactly what they're doing. Of course, there's going to be misinformation in there on purpose, on purpose. So Trump played the loser really well all of the rest of 2021, all of 2022, and things changed in 2023 during East Palestine. You started seeing a different Trump, kind of like showing you he's president. Not telling you, but showing you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
right? And then this commander-in-chief finally came out. But like I said, I've known about this part, right, since March 11th. And March 11th is a very interesting day. You know, that is the Illuminati witching hour, 311, 33. It's a 33 number. It is a year before, in 2020, the World Health Organization declares a COVID pandemic when? On March 11th. They could have called it on the 24th of January. They could have called it on the end of January. Could have called it any time in the month of February, because it already met six of the eight criteria for a global pandemic at the end of January. But the World Health Organization didn't do it because they wanted to pick their Illuminati, right? The cabal, their satanic day, right? 311, 33. It's in our face. And the White Hats have a sense of humor, and they come back and they give them this. Here it is. Trump has been commander in chief on 311 for a long time. I think it's beautiful, Rich.
Yeah. I mean, it has played out perfectly, really. I mean, these people are literally, we said this before, I've said it, that these people are the biggest idiots ever. They are arrogant idiots. They're so dumb that they have willingly showed their identity to you, and now they're trying to operate as who they actually are, right? But they're still trying to lie to you and tell you that things aren't as they appear. But
yeah, but that's only for like the triple vaccinated that won't start with, because a lot of people are waking up. Even many of the vaccinated are waking up, realize they've been poisoned. All this is happening, and everything's not right. The borders are not right. Nothing's right, right? So the people are finally in 2024 getting this. I think that's beautiful.
It is. And it really, I think that the economic system is the linchpin in this thing. And that is the only thing keeping people at bay and keeping them calm right now, is the fact that the dollar still has value, that they're fully invested into it their whole lives. Nobody wants to see it collapse. Nobody wants to see it go away. And, you know, people are unwilling to do anything or to ruffle any feathers because they all have something to lose.
Yeah, but it's going to reset anyway. The dark side is going to reset it. The White Hats are going to allow them to reset it, so it's going to crash. It was designed to crash. There's no way they can pay off $300 trillion, probably more than that, right, in global liabilities and debt, for making $100 trillion globally on GDP. There's no way you could ever pay that back. So the whole thing's a system of fraud. So there's no way the system's going to be crashed. Because the idea behind the Great Reset is to crash it, so they could have, but they're not be able to do it, but they could have hidden their financial crimes. They could have hidden their COVID crimes, you know, with the vaccines, had they had a real pandemic, or had Hillary Clinton won instead of Trump in 2016. But that didn't happen either. So it's been an interesting ride.
I think that they are reluctant. I don't think that the bad guys really want to crash it right now, but I think that they are in a position that they're being.
I think the White Hats are going to help them. They're going to, like you talk about, push things out of order. They're not going to let them have their way as far as timing. So they're going to disrupt them. They're going to throw things out of schedule. I believe the White Hat, it's going to be crashed by the resetters, but I don't think they're aware of how it's going to crash or the day of. And I think the White Hats are in control of that.
Yeah, and they are stuck in motion. Once that system crashes, the clock is ticking very fast, right? Things could get out of control very quickly.
Yep.
You know, so they have to make moves really quick. They got to push to war really fast once that happens, because they have to have a cover for it. They have to be able to blame another entity for it, that they're not at fault, so that the people will go along with whatever solution that they want to put in place.
Yeah.
And they don't have the support.
Let me go into this very important point. John F. Kennedy Jr. is alive. I know I haven't been allowed to talk about it for 3 years, but in 2023, January, I went to another state, stayed a weekend with a Vanderbilt heir, won't mention names, and we sat down, we had a long conversation. And she was pretty amazing. Like first of all, John Kennedy Jr. Was so popular that if they had a memorial service in St. Patrick's Cathedral, you would have had lines of, you know, 5 miles long in Manhattan, right, on Fifth Avenue. That didn't happen. Instead, they had a private family ceremony, and they had two urns, Tiffany urns, sort of like a silver urn here. And Tiffany urns are middle fingers to the cabal. So, and it was Navy SEALs that retrieved them, that happened to be in location somehow, when the Piper plane went down. And apparently we would learn, I'd learned this from Gene Ho of George Magazine, editor-in-chief or George Magazine. I would learn that JFK Jr. owned a Piper plane and George Magazine back in 99 owned a Piper plane. And there was a sale of one of those planes back to the corporation, I think. So they had two planes, exactly the same thing. JFK Jr., from what I understand, arrived to the airport 45 minutes early in a Navy SEAL, most likely, or two of them, man and woman, dressed up as Caroline and John, boarded the plane and took off. They faked his death. John Jr. has been running probably the Q operation to a great extent, has been the genius behind the entire Biden administration, right? I think he's been running that operation. And that is why we got this amazing post from real Vincent Kennedy. And here it is, right? He rips off the Joe Biden face mask as John Jr. to destroy the enemy. Remember John said, I think in the 1990s, he was going to destroy the enemy that was involved in killing his father. Mm-hmm. It's happening, people. John F. Kennedy Jr. and people like, you know, give like a list of 10 Trump vice presidents. No, this is the vice president right here, in my opinion. There's no election this year. It's going to be April of next year. And John Jr. and Trump will do it together. That's what I believe. Rich?
Trojan horse, right? Trojan horse. I mean, to me, I watched that whole incident unfold when I was a kid, essentially, still then.
Yep.
When this whole incident went down, and it was so suspicious even at that time, you know, and looking back on it now, you see that. So the only person that was able to view the bodies was his uncle, right? What was his name? Sitting senator. He's dead now.
Yeah. Right. Long
and
gone.
then they cremated him, which is not a Catholic thing at all.
Nope.
So I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Right. Now, the urns were only showed on the boat with 12 family members off Cape Cod or Martha's Vineyard, excuse me, wherever. But they did have a tiny memorial. They did have a local memorial service in town, but their urns weren't there. This is what I've been told. So I take that for what it is. So I absolutely 100% believe John F. Kennedy Jr. is alive. He and Trump are together. Why do you think Bobby Kennedy Jr., the cousin of John F. Jr., actually launched a political campaign to run for president of the United States last April, a year ago? I was in attendance there in Boston when he announced it. Hour and 40 minute speech for someone that has a trouble speaking because his vocal cords were damaged by a vaccine, no less. Bobby has been speaking nonstop to his audience, talking about corruption, talking about the CIA involved in killing his uncle. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. So you got to start putting two and two together. You know, they're not going to tell us exactly what's going on, but you have to realize there's so many data points. It becomes very easy to connect now what's going on. Rich?
RFK, it's pretty obvious that he's safe right now. And that's why he's able to be used as this conduit, working with this whole agenda, you know, to essentially create a situation where there's no path of victory for the cabal. They've split the vote three ways now. They got to rig it twice in the same election.
Joe Biden's not even alive, people. Just letting you know. So let's move on from that nonsense. I've been showing that for 3 years straight. His ears are not the same. There's four. There are times deliberately when I think the Q operation is dropping images of his mask, you know, rolling up on his neck with air bubbles and stuff. It's so obvious he's not the real dude. And why would they let a pedophile criminal who murdered his first wife, Joe Biden, back in 71, and his daughter, why would he be allowed to live? No effing way. There are videos of him whipping young Filipino girls and stuff like that. He's just a disgusting human being. And we're going to learn his fate, but he's gone, in my opinion. He's long gone. I don't care where they execute him, but he's not on this earth anymore. Rich?
I agree. He has got to be gone already. I believe that this Biden presidency and cabinet has been captured the whole time it's been there.
It's right, under, right. And I got a document at the beginning of this week called Military Government, Eisenhower 49. I believe we've been in a military government since the 20th of January, 2021. And we're still in it. And why are we in a military government? It's a 52-page document. Why? Because it's the bridge to exit Babylon Matrix, exit the Babylon Beast system, the cabal system, and head to the Republic of the United States, a brand new constitution, or in fact, the original constitution, which I believe President Trump and JFK Jr. signed on Mount Rushmore with Gene Ho there taking pictures in July of 2020. I absolutely believed it.
I believe that too.
So we're going to learn clearly a lot.
We've been in the process of a dissolution since Trump was in office.
He's right,
been
and this is not devolution. The military government's not devolution. Some of it might be, like small amounts. Some of it might be special access programs to let certain units like Space Force continue under Trump's commands when Trump left office. You know, certain things like that. We are in a continuity government, yes, but it's a military government overall, overarching. That's the document from which the Law of War manual was expanded, you know, and updated to match that. And this is how it's going. So I'm going to have a discussion with you, Rich, in a couple of weeks. I'll share the document with you, and we can get into the different facets of the military government, because I think it's very important for the people to know. So I've been in a discussion in a couple of groups about the rapture. So many Christians, like the fiat dollar, have captured this. Oh, the rapture, it's coming. We're going to be raptured off Earth. Why would God remove his children off the beautiful creation of the Earth? He's never going to do that. God's also said, Yahuwah is a God of the living, not the dead. So why would God remove and destroy the enemy? He said there's no more floods. Rainbows tell us there are no more floods ever again. God will never flood the earth again. That's a promise. So what's interesting is this word tribulation. This was sent by a follower of mine on Twitter, and I follow her. And Marie, I'm not going to use her last name, and she sent this to me this morning, and I'm like blown away by this tweet. Tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum, which means threshing board. And she right away connected that tribulations in Revelation is separating the wheat from the chaff. The chaff will be burned in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. Right? So the cabal, the satanic worshipers, right? The sociopaths, the pedophiles, that's the chaff. They are going to be burn in a lake of fire, and it's coming. Tribulation won't be over until this fall, but things will be better for barley people by Pentecost. So this is getting interesting. Rich, go ahead.
I've been under the impression, just instinctually, that this whole thing was going to unfold in a way that people were going to be tested before they realized what the test was even and how important that it was. For instance, I believe, my belief is the vaccine was both.
Yep. Pandemic was fake.
Well, not just that, the vaccine was both the, my mind just went blank. Sorry.
No problem. Rich, it's early for you. No problem. You're out on the West Coast. The show's recorded. It's 9 a.m. over where Rich is. Good morning, world, right? Or good afternoon where I am.
I'm trying to spit this out.
Rich, you can get out in a second. But what's interesting about tribulation is the word tribulation has always been known in Revelation. And when this woman said, James, it's tribulation, really comes the word threshing board, and it's the wheat and the chaff, it becomes crystal clear what God's plan is. He's going to pull the wheat out, pull the barley out, and he's going to let the chaff burn in the lake of fire. That's the plan. So in Revelation, it's not about rapture. It is removal. So do not fall for that 19th century fake Christianity. That will still keep you in the dark kingdom. There is no rapture. There might be a rapture after you pass away, but there's certainly, you will be judged, by the way, but there's certainly no rapture coming up for us. They're not taking, like, Leave Behind series, you know, 144,000 Christians off the earth and let the earth burn. That is not the plan.
I got it.
Go ahead.
Okay, I took it as this. I took the vaccine as two things. It's a time-release type rapture. Because it's doing exactly what you said. It's making the cream rise out of the milk. It's taking the chaff off of the wheat, right? It's separating the people out, and it's also the mark of the beast at the same time,
It
essentially,
is.
because it accomplishes those things, right? But it was done in a way that this opportunity, this choice was put in front of you in a way that it was going to test truly who you were, right? It was going to test what your values were. It was going to test the true human being, the true self, the inner self, rather than give you forward warning related to make it obvious of what was going to occur. Surely that they were never, it was never going to be that way. It was never going to be that. It was going to be so obvious that you had a clear choice to make. I mean, I had a clear choice to make. I knew what was coming, but I had the Holy Spirit in me. I had God in me that, I was listening to my instincts and my own self, which means that you're listening to what God is telling you, right? And we knew better. It was so clear to us that what was unfolding, that it didn't matter that Trump was, pushing the vaccine or giving you,
No,
telling you it
not
was
for
safe.
us believers. No, I agree with you totally. In fact, I got a guest coming on in a couple of weeks. Her name's Ira, or Era, and she was Bohemian Grove at 3 years old. She was raised in a Luciferian family. She became Catholic the last 4 years, so she's gonna be an amazing conversation. But I talked to her for an hour last week, and she said 75% of the people in this world can be hypnotized, 25% cannot. And she talked about personality and things, but I really think what you're talking about, Rich, is whether you believe in God or not. I believed in God from day one. Have I made a ton of mistakes and sins my whole life? Oh, absolutely. Has God put me on his path to be here for the last 4 years to bring the truth to the people the best I can? Absolutely, as well. So I find this interesting. And you're on a different path than I am because it took what? Whistleblowers and realizing how corrupt the FBI system was and the law enforcement system was in your area. But then you also had something unique that probably very few people, and you've kind of figured it out. So let's talk about Sasquatch. Rich?
Sasquatch. So basically, what happened to me is that I was going through the Sasquatch thing, and I was going through the whistleblower thing where I awakened on two fronts at one time. So it hit me twice. So I had these two experiences that occurred that were belief system destroying and rebuilding events, right? Where you go through this process of breaking and destroying, getting rid of your entire paradigm, related to this entire system of how it operates, and having exposed to you through your actions, through your op taking these opportunities and making the right choices, to where everything gets shown to you in a way that is, even with me, it was very devastating in a way, not because I was sad of what I found out. It was a good thing for me because I inherently knew throughout my whole life that this was all fake, and we weren't on the right path. Humanity was not going down the right road, right? We weren't thinking for ourselves. There was no critical, independent thought. We were just believing everything we were told. And I experienced the same centralized control system in law enforcement that I experienced in Bigfoot. I got to see the corruption. And the same entity raised its head up in both experiences, right? So I was given this gift, I guess you could say, to where I was put in a position that I got to wake up 10 years ahead of everybody else, right? And so then I was compelled to use whatever opportunities that I had, whatever advantage of knowledge that I had, to try to help as many people as I possibly could, to start informing on these evil people and to start informing people of what was coming. And I didn't even know the picture at that time. I just knew that I had to do it. I started exposing and outing in both avenues, and I used the Sasquatch thing, to basically draw people into me, to where I could expose them to this other information that I had, stuff that they maybe wouldn't accept. And they weren't ready to accept, and they didn't have the knowledge base to accept it. But because of the Sasquatch thing, and I opened myself up personally, and used my credibility that was already established to let them know something that they previously didn't know about. And then they were receptive to learning other things and to be exposed to other things, even if they really didn't know it, because they were coming to me in an open mind state, right? Where they were learning things that were obvious truths that they currently were unaware of. And then I, you know, threw this other stuff at them from the side, essentially, this knowledge I had related to the FBI, related to the systemic cultural corruption within the government and how bad that it really was. You know, and now I have context for
it. It's far worse.
Yeah, it's worse than anybody.
I saw a video this morning that most judges, not all, but most judges in California, probably every other state in the country, are basically when there's a custody battle, they usually intercede, and send a lot of children to adoption service to be human trafficked, to be child trafficked, to be sex trafficked, to be sold. This has been going on. And the figure they use just for that part in the courts alone is $5.8 billion a year. So there is going to be a complete removal of the Bar Association in this country, in my opinion, and all of that tying into the law enforcement. But going back to Sasquatch, what compelled you to start researching and setting up the trail cams? Was it a interaction you had with them, right? I mean, you're up in the Olympia Peninsula. Why don't you describe a little bit about the territory?
So I was on the Olympic Peninsula. I was working for the Lapus Tribal Police at the time that I had a Sasquatch walk across the road in front of my patrol car during the daytime, right? So at that time, I was always the kind of person that would challenge and speak my mind. You know, I'm not really afraid of people or their authority, really, because I trust in God's authority. I believe in Him, you know, and so I think that it kind of, that experience was put in front of me to kind of set me loose in a way to where I would start to challenge things personally within the law enforcement thing and everything else, to be honest. And I didn't research Bigfoot for about 8 years after I had that encounter. I wasn't afraid to mention it or bring it up if the topic came up. But in those days, you were met with chuckles and ridicule from everybody that you would bring it up.
Yeah, because you get 5 or 6 seasons of a Bigfoot series. You got a couple of guys, I'm not picking on anybody in there, trying to do their own investigation at nighttime with all kinds of equipment, drones, everything. And they often come back with nothing, right? And once in a while, you'll get a dash cam from a police over in Georgia picking up what looks like a Bigfoot walking across the road, to the point where the sheriff on a dash cam, you know, turns around, gets out of the car and right with a flashlight, doesn't find, gets back in the car, turns the car towards the woods, and then, you know, high beams it in the whole 9 yards and nothing, right? But so he goes, you know, where did this creature go? And he couldn't figure it out. But you have a theory on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll go back to this. Okay, so when I got into this, I won't spend a lot of time building this up. So 8 years after I had that original encounter, through a mutual friend, I got in contact with a guy named Derek Randles, who was part of the North American Ape Project with Jeff Meldrum and this guy, John Myenshinsky, both scientists, right? So then I was able to be integrated right away into the top echelon of these people. Dave Politis, Jeff Meldrum, all these people. I was kind of with the BFRO for a little while, started this independent research project. But in no time at all, I started to realize that really Bigfoot in particular was under a gatekeeper, I guess you could say. It was infiltrated heavily, I would say, by intelligence services.
Yeah.
Because they're scared to death of it, and they need to control that narrative. My learning through my personal experience led me to believe that, or led me to know, I would say, not believe, that what we're dealing with this phenomena is, it's the exposure to a whole nother world that exists parallel to this one. Probably many worlds that exist parallel to this one, that this is a like an interdimensional type being, you know, and I've done a lot of research that's evolved essentially to the point that where I'm at now, you know, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you or not, but through the research and stuff and through contacts, I became aware of this phenomena known in Tibetan Buddhism related to, they call it a Bayul or Bayul, B-E-Y-O-U-L. What it is, it describes how in certain places, two worlds overlap, the spirit world and the physical world, right? And to the point where lamas have tried to enter these places with groups. And we only know about the unsuccessful attempts where they've tried to go into these locations. I mean, this is in relation similar to like Shangri-La, right? So I clearly could see, you know, after a period of time in this process that I went through with this Bigfoot thing, that we are dealing with something similar like this, you know. And you can tell that based on the fact, like you brought up, okay, the intelligence services, the government has no problem whatsoever with disclosing information related to ET, UAPs, UFOs, because it helps them to promote their agenda, right? Their agenda to keep everybody dumb to the actual reality of their biological world and what else is going on. But where Bigfoot is another thing, where these things obviously demonstrate otherworldly abilities, right? And they clearly seem to be able to control time and space. They're not held accountable.
Other dimensions, which would lead a lot of people to say, hey, if this is true, they're not just big, ugly, brute cavemen, right, or gorillas. They're actually super intelligent beings. They're just different than we are. And they're far more advanced than we are. CIA would have a lot explained, because NASA and CIA tried to disprove the existence of God, even though they're both satanic worshipers. Kind of weird, isn't it? They worship Satan, but they're trying to get the rest of us people in this completely numb, dumb phase that God doesn't exist, right? It's always here. It's a big bang. It's all a lie. And their cover-up is falling apart. Rich, continue.
Okay, so I've come to the conclusion over this period of time, okay, this is one of the big problems related to Bigfoot and the disclosure of it, the lack of physical evidence such as bones or bodies, right? Nobody finds bones or bodies. I don't think that anybody actually even has bones or bodies, to be honest with you. And the reason why that is think about it in this context. So if these things are not native to this realm, right, they're not native to the earth, but they have the ability to come here, exist, to utilize the resources, right? If they die here, if they perish here, since their matter is not native to this realm, it's got to be returned to the place that it's from, so that matter can, you know, can go back into that realm, into that world, right, and be part of it. For instance, okay, I think that could be an explanation to why we're not finding bodies. Okay, here's another thing. Okay, you know, The Missing 411 by David Pilaitis, right? He's written all these books related to missing persons cases. Many of these cases are highly unusual, to the fact where, you know, people go missing. Vast resources are deployed. Search crews, search and rescue, cadaver dogs. They don't find anything. And then maybe 2 or 3 years later, somebody is in the area either searching for this person because they were close to this person, or it's a mushroom picker or a hiker, and they happen to find the remains under unusual circumstances, meaning bones, clothes, shoved up under a log. And it's always in an area that was already heavily searched with dogs, with people, and they hadn't found anything before, but then they're just back. So I think in some of these cases, people wander in or accidentally enter these bayous, these parallel realms that are overlapped in certain spots. And if they happen to go in there and they perish in those places, their matter is returned to this realm, right? Because it can't stay, or it can't integrate into that realm after they die, right? Their physical body can't integrate there. Just like Bigfoot can't integrate here after they die. Their matter can't integrate here. It's got to be returned back to where they're from, right? Their native realm.
And you had one of the more interesting, so you did incredible interviews. I'm going to leave the links in the show for everybody, show notes. But what's important is you did 2 hours, 2 1-hour documentaries on this. And one of the things, besides your incredible memory to detail this road here, that lake there, this happened here, this happened on that day, you had an encounter where they brushed by you and that freaked you out. Talk about that.
Okay. I wasn't able to accept this or tell myself the truth related to this until many years after. This was after that I had my first sighting in La Push. This would have been, I believe, April of 2002, or no, March 1st, 2002. I was fishing in this drainage called the Dickey River. I was up the East Fork. I parked my car where the confluence of the East and West Fork come together, and then I hiked up a mile and a half. I was steelhead fishing. And great time of the year. It's at the peak of the run. I didn't have a lot of success. I walked up about a mile and a half, and I felt watched the whole time, which wasn't unusual to feel watched like that all the time up out in the wilderness alone. But I had always told myself that it was a known thing until actually I had this Bigfoot encounter where I became aware of this being that was out there. It took me a couple of years to actually regain my confidence and my courage to start doing this again and going out alone. Well, I got about a mile and a half up, feeling more and more like I was being watched, you know, more and more that I was not in a necessarily safe situation. So after I finally caught a fish, I decided that I was going to get out of there. And rather than to go back out the way I came, which was down on the low ground, you know, to go out in the bottom of the canyon, where if there was something there, it had advantage over me by being above me, I decided that I was going to get out and head up to an old skid road, logging road that I knew existed through maps. And that would have taken me back directly to where the old bridge had been crossing where I parked. So I got up out of there, maybe, you know, 60, 70 feet up in elevation before I got up to the plateau where it was flat and really high brush. It's called slough brush. It was in there 5 feet, you know, maybe up to my chest. And I got up to a spot and I stopped. And then all of a sudden, something charged me from close range to where I could see. But I couldn't see anything, but I could see actually literally the brush moving where it was coming at me. It was coming directly at me. I was frozen. I didn't know where to go because I couldn't even see the adversary coming at me. And it came so close that I felt the wind of it go by my face. And then right when it got about 5 feet beyond me, it just stopped. It stopped moving, right? The brush quit moving. So I'm like in disarray. I'm like shocked, in fear and everything. I start looking around like, what was this? Like something big just came by me, but I couldn't see it. I even put my head down into the brush to see if it was underneath there and I couldn't see it. It wasn't there. And so I was scared. I decided to get my ass back down into that creek as fast as that I could and then book out of there all the way and get home and not look back. And, you know, nothing seemed to follow me that I was aware of out of there. But I had this experience with something that I couldn't see, but I could see it was there. You know, and later on, you know, after my experience and my investigation, interviewing people, just researching, I got aware of this idea that these things can cloak, right? Like Predator, yep. That they can essentially dematerialize the physical view of them, meaning they're physically still there, but you can't see them anymore. Somehow they're manipulating the environment to be able to do that.
Well, and Predator, you got to realize Hollywood's a CIA operation. So maybe Predator was made based on some knowledge about the actual Sasquatch. Think about it.
I certainly think that is probably the truth because there are numerous people that have seen these pixel cloaked beings.
Yep.
Many of them. I've talked to three or four myself personally that have seen the same thing. I myself at that time did not see the pixelation. Right. I just saw that something invisible was coming at me that was displacing foliage.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see it so close that I could feel the wind of it on my face. Right. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like this far from me, obviously, when it went by and it wanted to intimidate me really bad. Right. It wanted to scare me. Right. Because it would only operate in that state if it wanted you to be confused, to be intimidated.
Yeah, and that's why I recommend the audience, if you haven't seen Predator 1987, the original, in a while or ever, I highly recommend you do, because you'll see what Rich is talking about. You know, the special effects going back to 87 were very impressive for that movie. Rich?
The Flash of Beauty, you have it even documented, I believe, in the second film. They've got either videos or photographs that show you this predator being, right? Dave Politis even, I think he put out one of his films, a video of one up in a tree that was clearly like one of these predators. I can't remember the name of the witness.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood's been showing us forever what they, you know, they've been showing us zombie movies because they were going to have a zombie apocalypse on us, but that's been disrupted. Right, they continue to leave the world behind, showing us that the world's falling apart. I mean, all this is in our face. I saw the Civil War movie last Saturday, and I was unimpressed. It was the worst storytelling I've ever seen. The whole movie fell apart. When you don't care about any of the four lead characters that are on a journey together, you don't care if they die off. You don't care anything about them. There was no real opening scene other than the president of the corrupt United States Corporation, right, speaking for 2 minutes, and then you see him at the end coming out under his desk in the Oval Office and being shot. And there was no denouement. And denouement is a French word for wrapping up a story, right? They walk off in the sunset. They explain why their colleague died. You know, they have something, a cup of coffee, like Tom Cruise does in all of his, or beer at the end of all of his Mission Impossible movies. There's always something. But not in this movie. It's very strange. And there's only a couple of really good scenes, but the whole movie was just like, it's average. And I don't think it was so much predictive programming. It did show Washington, D.C. getting destroyed, which might be actually what's coming from the White Hats. So that part of it could very well be because the pentagram that is D.C. is not going to be there anymore. I got word that the National Archives have been moved. And the military government document talks about the archives, by the way. Has been moved to Denver and has been moved to Atlanta, Georgia. High ground away from Washington, because Washington might be being, I don't know, some of those monuments might be surgically knocked down somehow. What I'm thinking.
Oh, I don't think that there's any other option. I think they have to destroy D.C.
They do.
It has to be gone with the Vatican, with the city of London. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The banking epicenter.
Yeah, no, they got to take down those obelisks. For sure. So they're no longer worshipped. They're no longer center of anything, right? And people can be free. Rich, so towards the end of your 2-hour video, apparently the Sasquatch made you an offer somehow. Why you come with us, but you're going to have to sacrifice something. And you never want to make a deal with the devil. Do you want to talk about that at a high level?
Sure. So through this process, I mean, I had a really strange experience, right, with me particularly. A lot of people claim that they can communicate with these things through telepathy. You know, they call it mind speak. I don't think it was them that was actually talking to me, but I had something like that happen to me early on after my second encounter. But it got to a point where, you know, I was in contact with these two different women that were both clairvoyance mediums.
Yep.
The first one actually told me that she had been contacted by these beings. She wasn't involved in any research, didn't have any prior knowledge related to them, and that they wanted to teach me how to remote communicate with them, right? They said they had the ability, but for some reason that it wasn't happening, they weren't able to connect. And so that they put this woman in place to give me the skills and teach me how to remote communicate. Right. So I started to go through a process with her of teaching related to me, where she's teaching me how to remote communicate with anybody, the entire process. Right. And it wasn't successful. It didn't work. Well, at the same time as this, I was also in communication with this other woman named Michael, who was up at Mount Adams, that had the same thing going on with what I described before, where she was in direct communication through telepathy and physically in person with communicating with what she said was a clan of Bigfoots up in this area. I had a guy that I know involved in the North American Eight Project, Dave Politis's project,
yep,
that had been there. And he confirmed that what she was saying was true. He had encounters, not face to face, but they were right in the proximity of him. He could hear him talking and everything else. So they were both trying to facilitate this. She was telling me, this Mount Adams woman, that I had Bigfoots around my house that were looking in my windows. They had come in my house. that they desired strongly to communicate with me, right? So I went through all this process. I got to the point where I was frustrated because I felt like I was doing everything I was supposed to do. I was being told and reassured that I had this ability to do this. For some reason, it was being blocked somehow, either through me or somebody else. I got to the point finally where, out of frustration, you know, I went outside one day and I projected out, you know, that I was willing to do whatever to facilitate this or make it happen, but I wasn't going to relinquish anything. I wasn't going to give anything up. Well, everything stopped at that point. Nothing proceeded any further, right? The whole thing kind of backed off on me. The interaction, everything that was going on kind of quit. So that was a good sign, a big sign to me that, you know, that I had to give something up in order for this to evolve or continue. Whatever mechanism was that was in place that was preventing it, that was blocking it, was what I would have to give up in order for it to move to the next level. You know, I wasn't willing to give that up. I wasn't willing to give any of that up. So to me, and my belief was that I was going to have to give up my relationship with God in order to continue to move forward.
And then, you know, there's a demonic side to it, at least in my opinion, to the offer, right? Making a deal with the devil, literally. And I'm not saying Sasquatch is evil. I'm just saying, why would you want to give up that relationship with God? Never.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, and I would certainly say that to some degree or another, that there is a darkness or a heaviness that is involved with these things. I mean, that's the feeling. I can tell you that when all this stuff was going on, that my family life wasn't good. The relationship with my wife, I was pulled away, distracted away from my role as being a leader in the family, to be taking the father figure role, yeah. You know, and everything else kind of suffered as a result of it. Right. That's not a good thing.
No, in my opinion.
I can tell you that.
Sometimes humans, men in particular, but humans can get really distracted, right? Get real tunnel vision and almost ignore everything around them because they want to pursue something, whether it's the truth, build a project, right? They go to, and you see movies, countless movies on real people throughout history doing that, right? They sacrifice everything. And at some point, you got to make a choice. And you made the right one. We got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about the trail cams, because I know you set up a lot of them, and some of them got vandalized, and they weren't vandalized by kids, I take it.
Well, to a degree, vandalized, I guess you could say. They weren't damaged, but they were moved, obstructed, turned around on trees. I mean, I did have some success with the trail cam, probably more than once. Not very good success. I did get pictures on one occasion that I knew what it was. I was able to swab the camera for DNA, which was part of the Sasquatch Genome Project, the Melba Ketchum study. Yep. It was presumptive for the same thing, all the other stuff. You know, I will say one more thing going back to this. These things, I'm not saying that they are demons, Nephilim, whatever that they are. I mean, they potentially could be, right? But what I'm saying, another thing that I observed is this, is that there seems to be a tit for tat. These things are engaged for a reason, right? While we get an ego enhancement out of it, right? We get to seem otherworldly and important, like we have something other people don't have.
Yep.
They obviously are getting something out of the interaction as well, or else they wouldn't be spending the time, right? They wouldn't be putting an investment in. They wouldn't be interacting with you, right? It may be energetic. I don't know what it is, but they're feeding off of it too. They're getting something in return. We're getting something. They're getting something, right? It may be that what they're getting is at our expense, right? It's something we're giving up and giving to them as a result of this thing, right? One thing I'll tell you this is that these people that claim to have this interaction, these things don't seem to be engaged for the betterment of humanity. They don't seem to be engaged to make you a better person, right? To make you closer with God, right? They don't seem to be engaged to help you to make the world a better place, right? They don't seem to be engaged to the point where, like I said, that they want to make humanity evolve to a higher level. That's not what their intention seems to be, right? So in my mind, if they're not trying to make you better, if they're trying not to make you, if they're not trying to make you a better human being, then it must be the opposite of that reason that they're engaged. That's just my instincts. You know, that's what I would tell people, right? To be careful, because you don't know what you're dealing with.
No, you you're know right. That these things, you don't know their agenda. You don't know if they're going to pull you off world through a portal or a dimension or something. And you don't know if you're going to come back as a bag of bones and clothing 3 years later. I'm serious. You don't know.
Well, that's a logical interpretation, right? That is, that's where your mind should be going, right? But these people's minds are not going to this place. They look at it that they're special, right? That they've been chosen by to one degree or another for this. That's what they're looking at. And then they use it.
I kind of snicker at that. And the reason for it is, well, how come Sasquatch doesn't show up in cities and pick out special people? Right? Why is it only out in the sticks?
They operate from the shadows and in darkness.
No, I that's understand where that. They operate. So that's a red flag caution right there. Rich, wrap this up in a minute. I think next week you and I, and I'll send you the document. We'll talk about the military government state we're in. I'll send you the 52-page document. You and I should talk about that next week, among other things. Go ahead, Rich.
You know, that's it. What else? I don't really have anything else to say.
So no more interactions. Maybe we will learn the truth from Sasquatch since we are in the age of revelation. And I think that will be a good thing. Government, obviously, as you claim, is holding back a ton of information, right? The FOIA requests, you don't get anything back on Sasquatch, but UFOs, no problem. So they're controlling the narrative all the way to the end, the CIA and the government and whatever else. And we can't trust them.
That tells you really everything that you need to know, in my opinion, is the fact their position on it. The fact that they won't divulge anything, they won't disclose. And it's because if they do disclose, then the next logical place that it goes is the questions of who it is, what it is, and where it comes from. They can't answer any three of those questions because it blows up their whole lie related to what they want us to think related to the biological earth in our existence, the Big Bang, all that baloney.
Yeah.
Right. I think that it exposes it all. So they can't even go there. They can't disclose anything. They can't confirm the existence of it. It's already proven to exist just merely through the literally tens of thousands of eyewitness accounts and personal experiences that go back thousands of years, documented thousands of years back. Through yep. cave art and through native stories, native history. It's all there. It's always been there. And it's here now. The same thing is happening. Yet it seems like to me that the experiences and these things are showing their face more, right? It's happening more now. Just like I mentioned those Bayuls and the Tibetan Buddhism, where they talk about them, in that these areas become more apparent and more active as the earth and as humanity gets to a point where everything is tearing apart, essentially, in a way where
we're at that point in history. Rich, yeah. Thank you very much. Next week, I think you and I are definitely going to jump on the military government, because I think that's extremely critical to understand why people find this whole last 4 years strange. Well, we'll explain it for you. Thank you, Rich. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks.